Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eatley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional. Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. Vera, I have missed you, and we have an amazing guest.
I know. I feel like it's been so long. The last episode I did on my own, as you know, sometimes, I mean, things happen, so we have to take breaks, and then one of us is like suddenly inspired, so we're like, oh my God, I have to tell you something. And by you, I mean the lovely audience of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. But yes, we do have a super cool guest today, Natalie. I'm so happy that you're able to make it because I love it when we can do interviews together.
Yes, and especially when it's guests like this, I'm like, please, Vera. I mean, when she brings anyone on, I'm like, I need to meet them too. So let's kick it off because I know people are waiting who this
totally.
Is.
Totally. Okay, so I met Maya Muñoz Tobón here in Portland. So I'll let her tell you a little bit about herself. But as some of you know, I meet, like, every month there's like a jefas who drink, jefas who have breakfast. I forget what it's called, but it's just a lovely group of women entrepreneurs that get together and talk about, you know, the things that they need and the things that they can offer. So we're all like helping each other. And that's how I came across Maya. So Maya, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I want you to tell us a little bit about who you are, how you ended up in Portland. And also, the reason why I wanted you to be on here is because you recently had a very interesting workshop. And I want to hear all about it because, you know, as folks from Latin descent, we all have our traumas, our generational things that get passed down. So please tell us more.
Okay. Great. Yeah, thank you. Well, as you say, my name is Maya Muñoz Tobón. I am, my official title is Embodied Expressive Arts Therapist and Facilitator. So I'm a facilitator, educator in the somatic field and expressive arts healing practices. And I can share more about what exactly that is. But
yes, please do. I feel like Vera and I we're fanatics, so we're just like, we kind of know what this is. But for those that like, what is this? Because obviously this is a money podcast, but as we've talked many times, your money situation, your financial situation is connected to your mental, spiritual situation. So please tell us a little more.
Yeah, exactly. So somatic and expressive arts therapy is a healing practice of at the core is for us to able to connect mind, body, and soul. My personal philosophy is that healing is completely interconnected to what is happening outside of us and what is happening inside of us. So from the cellular of your body to the systematic oppression or systematic reality that you're living in, it affects all of your health, both mental, body, and mind. So my perspective is healing from the body and through expressive arts. And it could be dancing, it could be drawing, it could be writing, it could be sculpture, depending on what the person or the group wants to explore. And so we do a connection of awareness of what is our body holding, what is the stories that our body is holding, both you know, in illnesses, in chronic pain, in limitations, and then start being with the body, being compassionate to all of those expressions in our body, and then bringing them out through the expressive arts, whether it's writing or drawing. And then we just have a conversation of like, what is the art telling us about our stories that are coming out? How can we have a different perspective of what we have thought who we are or what our stories are. And it goes back and forth. So the art tells us a little bit more about us, and then we feel it in our body and so on. So we continue that conversation to understand that our bodies are so wise that have made us come to this day. Like they made us survive. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our stories, there were tools and mechanisms that were in place that made us survive to this day. And we have to be compassionate for that. We have to be thankful and just let go of those judgments and let go of, you know, thinking when something is wrong with us. When in reality, it's like there were tools to make us survive in very challenging and difficult circumstances many times, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we have, and we all, most of the time, we think something is wrong with me. The judgment is always, oh, why am I this way? Why am I this way? Because life, I have this saying of like, life wants to live, right? And your body did whatever it could to bring you to this day, to survive.
Yeah.
So we go through that process of like finding that compassion for ourselves, for others, understanding that we are connected to our health, mental health, physical health, emotional health is connected to everything, the air we breathe, the places that we live, the relationships we have that is not in isolation. And we do that through the art and the body.
I think that's so beautiful. Thank you for describing that, because I'm our audience definitely understands, like, I know they it resonated with them, because it's not some, we've never been afraid to talk about how impactful the exterior is on our heart, on our being, on everything, right? It even shows in your skin, like in everything when you're not well. And I mean, Natalie and I have experienced all sorts of heaviness throughout. I mean, it's normal throughout your life. You experience all sorts of things. And I don't know, it reminded me of really of your story, Natalie, about like when you really were at your most mental and physical, like low, you know, and when you talk about like, because this is a money podcast, I mean, money just stresses us so much, or even the idea, even though money is a good thing, it's hard for us to think it's a good thing. So all of a sudden, our hips get tense, our shoulders get tense, our stomach gets tense, because we equate money sometimes with just debt, or with something that's bad, or how do I get out of it, or I don't have enough of it. And I think it's really beautiful that you can unfold any trauma through, as you said, the art that you do. What do you think, Natalie? Because like, I find that if I'm stressed out, thankfully, I'm not stressed. Like, I don't stress out about money the way that I used to. But it took a lot of work, and it took a lot of like openness and willingness to have conversations around it. But I remember where I held it. Like, I have like phantom pain from, like, I remember where I used to hold it. I had to really learn how to be aware of where I held that trauma and then let it go. How do you feel about it, Natalie?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Maya, we are your people. as Vera's explaining that, because I was thinking the same thing, where I'm still constantly working on it. The other day I was thinking that, where I'm like, how great is it to look at your bank account and that it doesn't go down, it actually goes up. But in my mind, I'm always still in this sacrifice mode. I'm still working on that. I've been very vocal about that, because people are just like, oh, well, when you're well off and when you're doing well, you don't stress about it. And I go, no. I hope it goes away. But from some people that I've spoken to that are mentors, they're like, we're still dealing with, especially if it's so rooted with not only our traumas, but the lack of work. And I think that's kind of my follow-up question for you, because when I'm like, I want to incorporate more of the art therapy that you're describing, because Vera just said, we feel it in our body. I mean, I see it in my face when I break out, certain things. But it's how often do you recommend these type of maybe workshops or type of art therapy to release? Because that's something I also not just want to continue to teach myself, but my son and my husband. What do you recommend?
Well, this is like a lifelong, it's practice. And when I say practice, is literally like, I do it all the time. I arrived to this work because I was looking for that healing myself. That literally the universe just put me here because the universe was like, you need to reassess your life. And you need to focus on this. And I found myself in a place where I was doing the work. I am doing the work for myself. And I just wanted to share it, to share what I'm learning, what I'm experiencing with others. So it's like a daily practice, everything.
Oops, sorry, that's my dog.
It's okay, it's real life.
I mean, we are Yeah, we are our bodies and our minds and our emotions 24/7.
Yeah.
So it's a daily practice. For example, what I offer in my workshops and what I offer on one-on-one session is it's a space for intentional practice. So in those workshops, especially in the workshops, you have a space for intentionally practicing tools in relationship, in community. Because many times they tell us, oh, just do these breathing exercises and those are helpful, of course. And I do that. All of that is helpful, but it's like, okay, you're doing it in your room, but when you're doing in these tools and learning from each other in a group, I feel like they become more embedded in your body. They become more present. But yeah, the tools are there to practice every day. it's an everyday
practice. We don't live in a vacuum, right? So
exactly.
I was telling my husband this recently, like all of these, like, of course it's always like a male guru that's telling you go and do this and that, and that. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever, that worked for you, cool. But the rest of us have family, and some of us have children, some of us have spouses or parents that we take care of. Like, you can't just disappear and go in the forest and come back like found, you know what I mean? You have to learn how to do it like you said, life wants to live, and to isolate yourself, I find it's very beautiful when people actually do that. But like, I'm not saying you're not living life, but I feel like I love connecting with other people. And to me, that's living life. Like being in community, being with others, experiencing others is living life. So I think it's beautiful that you say it's intentional practicing, but like without isolating yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And like so many like healing practices and self-care have become so isolated that you do it in a vacuum. And for me, this practice of expressive arts, when we talk about expressive arts, it could be also like cooking, you know, the way you cook with your family, the way our cultures have so many like rituals and festivals, and all of that is expressive arts and somatic. You're connecting your body and your mind and your emotions while you're cooking, while you're doing your altars, while you're doing your rituals. So that the idea is to be able to find a way to be present in that practice on every day. That's why I say like every day. And also do the breathing exercises and the nervous regulation, the nervous system regulation. Yes, those have helped me tremendously, but it's just being more aware of how is my mind, body, and emotions connecting in my everyday life. And I wanted to share, since this is a money podcast, which I completely forgot for some reason. And when you were saying about, all this stress, anxiety that comes around money, I want to share, I'm a new entrepreneur. I'm a new business owner. This is like a new world for me, you know. As an immigrant, it was unthinkable that I would just not work, right? Like I was going to get a 9-to-5 job with a stable paycheck. Even 2-3 jobs, right? How many of us have had to have all those jobs? So for me, it was unthinkable that, no, I'm just going to not work for anybody and do my own business. And it's been terrifying. it's been really scary to both learn the new skills and feel that sense of not being financially secure without this stable paycheck and so on. So it's interesting because I am practicing what I'm trying to do with others also around that topic of, so many times I'm like, I'm just going to get a job 9-to-5 again.
We all think that, by the way.
Have that security again. And it's been a healing journey as well for for me to take on the leap of being an independent
absolutely person. And yeah. Thank you for being so vulnerable too, because I know people, a lot of people listening to this have either a business or thinking of starting a business, mm-hmm. or just trying to follow their purpose, which sometimes becomes a hobby first before it becomes mm-hmm. something, right? And Bira's right, we have those moments all the time where it's like, should I go back to the easy, when it felt like it was easier, but it wasn't as easy? You know, mm-hmm. there's so many layers. Even if you grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, like I was lucky, I grew up around my dad being self-employed for a long time, mm-hmm. and yet my mom was an executive. So I saw both worlds, mm-hmm. and then trying to combine yet what you, and when I was reading your website too, it was kind of interesting when I read, I was like, oh yes, there's those dramas that we not only bring, mm-hmm. but traumas that we see from our parents. And, mm-hmm. and it's funny when I hear certain language that I'm speaking with my mom or my dad, I could hear my mom's, nervousness or worrisome. Even today, she literally had a conversation about that, where it's not necessarily she doesn't believe that I'm succeeding or that I'm doing well, but it's some of the traumas that she dealt with my father during his journey as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And her fear is that I would go through the same thing. And so, you know, she tries to come up with ways to make sure that I'm not going that same route, but if, you know, here's a backup plan kind of thing. And then mm-hmm. the way my father speaks is very different in a sense where my mom, where she's always had more of a stability in a sense of her work, mm-hmm. but she also doesn't understand, now the freedom that my dad has had and been able to be there mm-hmm. for us more because of this type of business, right? And so I find that those traumas are still something that I'm mm-hmm. either fighting of like, whoa, am I doing the same thing? Or is it because of my fear that I saw them go through that? Mm-hmm. Or, and once again, I said that just looking at your bank account where I'm like, why am I stressing about
scarcity
this part?
Is a real like, thing, man.
It's a scarcity it's thing. And then, and then something that you hear someone else where you're like, ooh, I've been there. Mm-hmm. Definitely don't want to go back there. Or, exactly. or the fear of starting something new where Vera and I were just talking about like pivoting, doing something we weren't really planning in a sense, but it starts to bring up these traumas that I thought I got rid of. I thought I'd been working on it. So that's why I ask them like, how often do you do this? So what you're saying is right on point. And, you know, Vera and I talk about spirituality in a sense where it's like, how do you combine the two? So I love that you're putting this art and would you put it in, I want to say layman terms, but like for someone that's like maybe not a spiritual person or a, or really into the healing side mm-hmm. of the natural of the physical, would you say, what's the one thing you would think of that you can start, let's say tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, to feel a little of that art therapy you're talking about that can help them maybe navigate that? Because for me, I love to paint or I love to sing mm-hmm. or write or something that gets me out of my, but what would you recommend for someone that's like, maybe not?
Yeah. So thank you for that, because that's kind of, in this work, it's kind of like the challenge that I have with people to go through. And as I was mentioning, when we talk about expressive arts, I'm talking about like creativity, being creative, you know, figuring out your schedules with your children. It's like creativity, you know, figuring out dinner every single night. That has like a lot of creative skills. In your life, you have to problem solve, you have to put like structures in place. So all of that for me is creativity and a form to express yourself. So I think, for example, when I'm working with people, and I mostly work with our communities, Latino communities and immigrant communities, who unfortunately we have had this very strong disconnect from our body. And our mind and emotions for survival, not judgment. This is all for survival. So we start working with like things that feel really basic, but it's like, do you know when you're hungry? Can you be certain of when your needs are not met? Like, are you tired? Are you hungry? What is it that you need right now? And for a lot of people, it's, even for me, like, it's difficult sometimes, you know, like sometimes even determine what is it that I actually need, like basic needs. So we start creating just patterns of awareness, noticing, do you need more sleep? how is your body holding while you are doing a specific task or when you're thinking about your day? Is there a way that you can actually shift your body or give? I'm like super level, so 101 basic level. Can you actually physically support your body better? Like, mm-hmm. just sit down.
Yeah.
Don't work standing up the entire day. Just put one more pillow in.
This is really like literally amazing.
Be aware of your needs and what you need to be supported.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I find that it's actually especially important for the immigrant Latino community because we're just so used to working that we don't. You're like we forget, like, I need to eat something, but we're like, no, I have to continue working. But it's just something in us. It's like, I know our parents said, you got to work hard. You got to do this. You got to do that. But at some point, I mean, you got to rest. And we're not used to, we think rest is an indulgence and it's almost like a bad thing, right?
I'm going to make this a two-parter because something just came to mind. And you just said, I need to rest. And I'm thinking, this is the worst thing that I'm always on top of. So part two coming up.
To learn more about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at FinSavvy in 20 minutes and catch our interviews on YouTube. If you want to become a sponsor, hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, reach out to us at financiallysavvyin20minutes.com or send us a DM. All it takes is 20 minutes out of your day to become financially savvy.